This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You're going to be traveling or you're traveling to and from during the holidays and on through New Year's. And I'll tell you what, just make sure you stop in and grab a bag of beef jerky. Well, of course, I don't need to tell you that. If you're going to be driving across Montana, you're going to need some snacks. And I'll tell you what better snack than good old beef jerky? It's got the protein. It's got that good healthy fat in it as well that your body needs, that your system needs. If you want to focus on making America healthy again heading in to 2026. Well, I'll tell you what, keep your eye out for beef jerky from Reminisce Angus Ranch. You guys have heard us talk with Brian Massard out of Dillon, Montana. Tell you what, he's got great products, not only the Reminisce Angus Ranch beef jerky, but if you want to get some high quality steaks, some, you know, ground beef, even beef, bacon, you name it, you're going to taste why Reminisce Angus delivers the finest quality regeneratively grown beef. And tell you what, it's just so good. But you can find it in a lot of town pump locations. You can find the Reminisce Angus beef jerky. You can find their beef, their steaks, and more. Also in some of the town and country stores as well. So, yeah, like I say, if you're driving around, listening to Montana Talks or listening on the Montana Talks app this holiday season and on through New Year's, check out Reminisce Angus Ranch. You can also go to their website and order direct, remangus.com.
Welcome back to the 8 o'clock hour of Montana Talks. This is John Jackson, and we have a guest in the studio. It is the lovely and talented Jody Etchart. She is Montana legislator extraordinaire, world travel and luminary. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
What do you got for us this morning, ma'am?
Oh, I've got all you can think about probably until you're sick of it, talking about healthcare and healthcare costs in Montana and the United States.
Well, tell everybody why you are an expert in this area.
Well, thank you. So I have worked as a physician assistant for over 20 years. So I think 24 years now. And 14 of those years have been at Billings Clinic Logan Health. So I've been in multiple different areas and get to see a lot of actually how healthcare, getting prescriptions, those kinds of things really impact patients and people.
Yeah, so 24 years, you know a little bit about it then, right?
Maybe a little bit.
What do you think are the issues out here right now that everybody needs to be paying attention to?
Well, one of the things that I see a lot on social media, Senator Daines posted something the other day about how the Rural Transformation Fund through the One Big Beautiful Bill really affected Montana. And as you see, I think yesterday, maybe the day before, we got a notice that Montana has been awarded $233 million to be able to pay or to spend in 2026. And over 5 years, we'll have between $1.2 and $1.3 billion to the state of Montana through the Rural Transformation Fund and the One Big Beautiful Bill. And it really irritates me that people got on Senator Daines' thread and said, oh, but the One Big Beautiful Bill cuts Medicaid. It does not cut Medicaid, John.
Only thing I did hear about that is the Democrats out there saying that it cut Medicaid dollars to the illegals. And that's what they were raising hell about with the shutdown. It was part of the shutdown where they were saying that they wanted that those Medicaid dollars replaced that could be given out to illegals.
Yeah, that's I have heard that too. And I think some of the other thing is that they're saying that Medicaid's just been cut broadly.
Right.
And truly, it has not been cut. It absolutely hasn't been cut.
Yeah. What do you think the effect of Obamacare overall, since it got passed in, what was that, 2010, what do you think its effect is on all of this? Because everybody talks about the failing hospitals, failing rural health care, rural hospitals. How has Obamacare affected all of that?
Well, that's a loaded question. So if you look at some of the statistics for when Obamacare actually went into existence, so in, you know, what, the mid-teens, 2015, to whenever, 2012, whenever it went in. So
the more money that gets put into them, It's just more money going out the door. And like you're pointing out, you're making the correlation between the fact that there are now people not working because they probably figured, I just got to go to work to get insurance. But now that I got my insurance, you know, I'm just not, either I'm not going to work or it's not going to be as much. Well, we are coming right up to the break. That blew my mind right there, Jody. I did not know that. I wonder how many people out there know that. We'll be right back. More with Jody Etchart. Okay, we're just going to keep on rolling with it here because that what should have been a break right there, but Caden says we're still on the air. We didn't hear the music going there or anything. That should have brought us right up to the break there, but not sure what's going on, but we'll just keep on rolling. Take us to the next topic you had this morning.
Well, I have one more thing to tell you about Medicaid expansion. Medicaid enrollment quadrupled since 1988. It's the fastest growth has been among able-bodied working-age adults that accelerated significantly during Obamacare expansion, while the growth among children, seniors, pregnant women, and disabled has been far lower. So the people that really need it with Obamacare and Medicaid expansion, you're shifting it to working-age adults. One of the problems with that is this is crazy that traditional Medicaid populations, those people receive about $1.33 of federal funds for every dollar spent by the state, whereas expansion adults receive about $9 for every $1 of state spending. So what's happening here is since so much more money gets put towards Medicaid expansion, the states are following the money. I mean, Montana gets about $900 million every year for a two-year budget of about $2.4 billion to spend on Medicaid.
Why do you think those people that traditionally get it, why in this expansion are they getting less of it?
Because the government pays $9 per every federal funds, $9 per the state's $1 match versus $1.33 federal for $1 match from Medicaid expansion. So Medicaid expansion's paid out a higher rate. So states are going to follow the money. They're going to get more money if they expand who can be on Medicaid, and they're going to follow that $9 versus that $1.33. It's all about budgeting and money. You're going to follow what makes more money. Even though it's still taxpayer dime and it still increases the deficit, states are going to follow the money, which, I mean, is reasonable. Because if Montana didn't take the money from Medicaid expansion, it would have just gone to California. It's not as if that money would have been saved by the feds. They'd have just spent it and sent it to another state. So why shouldn't we keep that money here to be able to... We're average rural health across the country is 20%. Montana has 40% rural health care. 40% of our care is to rural areas in Montana.
And that's the inevitable, unceasing, never-stopping federal monster that continues to take all of our tax money, hold it, and then throw it back out there to put all of us dependent on it. It's the thing that's got to be stopped. But I've talked with a lot of people out there, a lot of people, insiders, you know, inside the system, and they just don't see it ever stopping. Even with all of our Republicans that go up there and campaign on the fact that they're gonna cut spending and they're gonna stop bureaucracy and all this, they never do it.
To get anything done anywhere, the amount of lobbyists, when you want to talk about pharmacy benefit management groups, we had a bill this session to stop pharmacy benefit management groups because I have some statistics for you that'll blow your mind on how much we're being ripped off by pharmacy benefit management groups.
Lord.
I think they hired every lobbyist in Helena, and I am not kidding, to defend them.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, that, oh my God. Didn't we see that blow up there during COVID, the whole thing with Big Pharma, if you were paying attention to that? Oh, my God.
Yes, sir. So here's one statistic for you, is pharmacy benefit management groups. Can I say generated $456.3 billion in 2023. That's how much money they made off the backs of you and I paying for higher prescription costs. $456.3 billion pharmacy benefit management groups made in 2023.
Half a trillion dollars. Unbelievable. I think that's why RFK Jr., as head of HHS, has really gotten under their skin, because he's taken some pokes at them lately with pulling back on some of these vaccinations and taking them off schedules and all that. And boy, that's their big moneymaker constantly.
Absolutely. So in other words, another statistic about pharmacy benefit management groups, $2 billion from Montana alone.
Oh, my God.
And let me give you an example. You can go on a website. Can I say the website name?
Sure.
Online? AllDayChemist.com. You can get an inhaler called Budesonide, the brand name of it, Symbicort. You can get six of them for about $125. You can check it right now for me, plus about $25 shipping. If you bought that inhaler, one inhaler would be between $300 and $600, your out-of-pocket cost without insurance. But you can get it on AllDayChemist. You can get...
Living in South America for as long as I did, I saw the absolute difference where you could walk in a pharmacy without prescriptions and get your standard medications, your standard antibiotics for pennies. I mean, for a thing of penicillin, say, amoxicillin, pay equivalent of U.S. $2, no prescription.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. The new year is coming, and so are some new rules and laws about firearms, especially in states where gun control is on the agenda. Illinois' new law coming on the books on January 1st is one that could seriously impact families. The Illinois Safe Gun Storage Act requires firearms in the home be locked up when minors, even older teens, are present in the home, unless the owner of the firearm is carrying it on their person, again within their home. While its supporters, like Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, who signed it, say it will increase safety for children, the law's detractors say it leaves open the possibility that a minor or even an at-risk adult who enters the home could make the gun-possessing homeowner non-compliant without even knowing. And violations of this Illinois law could cost a gun owner $10,000 in fines. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Back again with Jody Etchart. I always try to hit that music just right, because if you don't, I've heard how it sounds on the podcast, and you're talking over the pretend. If it's that rock music, you sound like you're talking over the. You can barely hear your voice talking over the rock music. So, what else do you have for us, Miss Jody?
Well, so a couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C. with something called the Paragon Institute. They brought in just a handful of legislators from across the country, and they asked me to come. And also, which really says a ton from Montana, they brought Amy Regeer, representative out of Helena. I'm sorry, representative out of Kalispell. She's running for Senate this time up in the Kalispell area. She's a nurse, been a nurse for a long time. She's chair of judiciary. She does an incredible job. She's just rock solid. We both got to go to Washington, D.C. to this Paragon Institute to learn about Paragon Institute. The guy who runs it, his name is Dr. Brian Blaze. He helped Trump in Trump's first session, advised the Trump administration, and he they were big advisors on the One Big Beautiful Bill and the Rural Transformation Fund. And so a lot of things, one of the reasons they, I think, invited both Amy and I from Montana is because I don't know if people in Montana realize it, but Montana is on the leading edge of healthcare reform in the nation. We've expanded to make sure that everybody, nurse practitioners, PAs, nurse midwives, optometrists can practice to the full extent of their education and training. So what I want to stress here, this is not a scope creep, and this is not other groups of providers saying, oh, you're just trying to creep into what we do. This is allowing everybody to practice to the extent of their education and training, which when you do that, you don't increase healthcare costs and you increase access.
And if I'm not mistaken, quite a bit of that is due to your work in the legislature. Am I right on that?
Why, thank you.
Tell everybody about the stuff you've got done there in that regard.
Okay, I will, but I also want to say Tom McGillivray, Senator Tom McGillivray, and in 2023, and also he helped, there was a representative here in Billings, and I can't remember if it was Carrie Smith or exactly who it was, helped to pass direct primary care. Direct primary care is huge. That's where you pay in monthly, and you get to see your doctor, your provider at any time, and it's a whole lot cheaper than insurance, and you get great care. So direct primary care, and then so Tom McGillivray also made it so that you can go to your pharmacist and get tested and treated for strep, influenza, urinary tract infections, and the pharmacist can treat you and give you a prescription right there. I don't know if you knew that, but you can do that in Montana now, or you can go right to your pharmacy. So if you're sick on the weekend, instead of going to the ER or waiting 3 hours for same-day care, you go to your pharmacist.
What is it again? Strep? What else?
It's point-of-care testing, so it's whatever they can do right there. It's just they can swab you for strep, swab you for flu, check a urinary tract infection, and they might be able to do a few other things. It just depends on what they can do with point-of-care and what they, I think what they ask to do at the state, but and then they treat you right there. So if you
and that's in effect right now.
Yeah, that's in effect right now.
That's awesome. I did not know that.
Yeah.
That plays exactly into what I told you before the break. That's exactly what they would do down in South America where I lived. Most people, including me, that's basically who your primary care guy was the pharmacist. And that pharmacist in there is obviously, you know, at a doctorate level. And you walk in there, doctora, you call her doctora, and you say, I've got this. What do you think? And she said, oh, well, you need this. No. Okay, here you go. And then you pay $2 U.S. for this prescription and walk out. They would even take you in the back. They've got nurses there. You could go in the back room, and if you needed an actual injection, pull down your pants, pop, you know, they give you an injection right there in the office where you never had to go see a doctor.
Yep. So Tom McGillivray did those here in Billings, so that's pretty incredible. But then some of the things that I did is I worked on making sure that certified nurse midwives, direct entry midwives, have the tools that they need to be able to safely take care of people. They're trained to do IVs. They're trained to use oxygen. But Montana law did not allow them to do that, which when you're in the middle of Montana and there's 3 feet of snow in a winter storm, you can't get air transport to you, can't get EMS to you. And so our direct entry midwives need to be able to do the stuff that they're trained to do. Right after the bill was passed, one of the gals that I had worked with on the bill, she called me up to tell me that without the provisions that we made in that bill, she would have lost a mom and a baby. But she was able to give the medications that she needed to support the mother's blood loss, be able to give her medications to stop the bleeding, to get time. And she lives in a fairly urban area. I mean, she's not even in rural Montana. But so it was still critical for her to be able to do that. She was able to save that mom and that baby because of that bill. It's pretty incredible.
I think that's the biggest advantage of having your skill set in the legislature, because nobody else is going to know these holes that were in Montana healthcare, like somebody like you that can then, with your power as a legislature, introduce bills and try to get something done on it. Nobody else is going to know. Like my background, unless you were in my background in law enforcement, you don't know the loopholes and the big problems out here in how the law is enforced.
Exactly. One of the other things I did, and this is my most favorite thing ever. In 2023, my first year I was elected, I was able to get in physician assistant independent practice in the state of Montana, which is absolutely incredible. It has led other states as an example for other states with what they can do to get physician assistant independent practice. In Montana, just to give you an example, nurse practitioners and PAs are what we call advanced practice providers. So yeah, a little bit different training, but we do the same thing. We care for people. We just have a little bit different training with how we do it. But nurse practitioners in the state of Montana, the second they're done with school, they can open up their own business. They can hang out their shingle because they're under the Nurse Practice Act for Montana and the Nursing Board and not under the Montana Medical Board. And so the Nurse Practice Act is a lot different. And the Nurse Practice Act says that they can have an independent practice immediately. PAs never, ever could be independent ever, even after years and years and years of working in the field, they couldn't do that. So now with the law that was passed in 2023 for PA independent practice, after 4 years, which is the equivalent of a medical residency, a physician assistant can practice independently in the state of Montana.
I found dealing with, you know, some stuff I've had done, some stuff, you know, my father went through 7 years of cancer. You end up, you see the doctor for a second, right? You know, see him occasionally. But then the person you see all the time is that PA. Or the nurse. And talking to both, you realize that they, the PA, the nurse, they're the people that know the most about this all the way around, particularly your recovery, your rehab, all that stuff, because that's what they deal with. The doctor doesn't deal with any of that.
Well, the doctors, they sometimes don't want to deal with it. They want to do surgery. You know, they want to do what they were hugely trained to do, and that's do surgery. And that's what they have the patience for. Or lack of patience for sometimes. and I don't blame them. They just don't want to deal with, oh, I'm in pain, I need more narcotics. Because they're trained on a lot higher level. So it's a great team. It's about teamwork, and it's about practicing to the extent of your education and training to do the very best care for the patient. Because the patient still needs all that hand-holding for how they're going to get through this. They haven't gone through this. They haven't gone through this with their parents. I mean, you might have a banker that has no clue about medical stuff, right, which is totally okay. I don't necessarily know all that much about investing. I know stuff about medicine, and I can help you get through that.
Well, a great line that my mother always had was she said, you know what surgeons do? They surge. That's what they do. If you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Right? That's what you're going to get. The answer you're going to get from that guy who cuts is, let's cut on you. Whereas that's the thing I've always backed away from. You know, I'm not getting cut on unless it is absolutely 100% has to happen. And I've tried everything else. I've tried every alternative before that.
Absolutely. So also in Montana, we made it so that optometrists can practice to the full extent of their education and training, so they can do a simple laser procedure now to remove scar tissue on cataract lens implants. So rather than waiting literally 4 to 6 months to get into an ophthalmologist, you can see an optometrist now that can do that laser procedure in Montana. So it really helps people up on the High Line that have had cataract surgery, because if you've had cataract surgery and that scar tissue comes across the lens, you can't drive because you're legally blind. You're not totally blind, but you can't see well enough to have a good visual acuity to drive. And it can take months to have a simple little laser procedure in the anterior chamber of the eye, the front. We're not talking about the back of the eye and any retinal things or anything like that, but a simple procedure that optometrists are trained to do in school. So it's really important. It's one of the things that they really stressed at the Paragon Institute in Washington, D.C. that Amy Regeer and I went to. Practice to the full extent of your education and training. It's going to decrease healthcare costs. And then there's another thing. There's a definition of physician in the U.S. Code 1861 that was made in 1965 that makes it so only physicians can order cardiac and pulmonary rehab for patients. So nurse practitioners and PAs can't send a patient to cardiac and pulmonary rehab, which is proven to decrease hospital readmissions and help that patient get healthier. We can't order it. Only a physician can, because of an antiquated law made in 1965 before there were really nurse practitioners and PAs. So I can't send somebody to supervised, monitored medical care, but I can say, yes, go outside or go to the gym. And after you've just been discharged from the hospital from a heart attack or a significant COPD exacerbation. So there's a lot of things that we can change. That changing that physician definition alone to provider will make it so that PAs and nurse practitioners can certify and recertify hospice care. So right now, if you need hospice care, let's say you've been on hospice care and you're out in the middle of nowhere, Montana, and your 6 months or your time frame is up and you need to be recertified, you have to wait for a doctor to come recertify you, and there is a chance that your hospice care could be interrupted until a doctor actually comes see you. Because even though I've been caring for you as a nurse practitioner or a PA, I can't recertify your care because of that antiquated definition in the U.S. code.
And you're going to get that fixed for the state of Montana,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. I know you will. Thank you very much, Jody. And we will see what she's going to do. I don't know if Jody's coming back or if she's out, but that was a great segment.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right, and who do we have on the phone here? We've got Dr. Williams from Billings Last Diets. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well. Good morning, John.
What do you got for us today, sir? What's going on? Is everybody managing to get through these holidays and stay with their diet, or are you getting a lot of phone calls?
Well, it's a difficult time of the year, but it's an exciting time of the year because we have people who fell off the wagon a bit during the holidays. Some who never got on the wagon to begin with. And now everybody's ready to get back on and get started with getting healthy. And I think that's a great goal for 2026.
I saw on here you wanted to talk about the GLP-1s.
You bet. Yeah, so GLP-1s have kind of taken the weight loss by storm. There is no doubt that GLP-1s help people lose weight. They suppress the appetite. They suppress the way your body metabolizes food. And so you don't have what they call food noise. So you're not as hungry. So you don't eat as much. And when you don't eat as much, you lose weight. So there's no doubt that it works. If you're going to use the term works, meaning you can lose weight. But of all the people that I've talked to that are on GLP-1s, when I asked them, how long do you plan on being on your GLP-1s? And they said, well, until I've lost the weight. And what most people don't know is that if you stop using the GLP-1s, the weight is going to come back. And so what we're encouraging in 2026 with Billings Last Diet, we're encouraging people that are taking GLP-1s, that have been on GLP-1s, that you need to get a plan ahead of time on what you're going to do after your GLP-1 journey of weight loss. And so it pairs in really closely with the protocol that we teach at Billings Last Diet. So there's a few things that happen to GLP-1s. Number one is it does make your appetite go down, but it doesn't change your habits. So your eating habits prior to taking GLP-1, generally don't change other than the amount of food you're eating while you're on GLP-1 food intake. So you need to develop new habits in the course of losing your weight. Number two, once you're eating less, you need to make sure you're eating the right foods, because that food is what's fueling the body and your growth and keeping you alive. So eating less unhealthy food, less crap, is not going to make you healthier. And so you need to learn how to shift what foods you are going to be consuming and learn how to eat the proper foods. So those are two of the biggest things that we think Billings Last Diet Protocol will help enhance people that have been on GLP-1 protocol. It'll help in the side effects that happen with the GLP-1s. And then and the last one, of course, is what happens when you come at the end. And our protocol, we've said for years and years, Billings Last Diet, we're going to help you teach and learn a lifestyle that helps you keep that weight off for the rest of your life, and you don't have to diet the rest of your life. And so the coaching, the education is all a big portion of that. I hope that makes sense.
It sure does. Quick question, doctor. The GLP-1s are controlling your blood sugar, right? And taken a lot of times by diabetics, am I right?
That's correct. That's what it was originally designed for, was for diabetics, yes.
So what happens if I'm a person that's just, for whatever reason, I want to lose some weight, but I'm not diabetic, and I start taking a medication in the long term that is tinkering around with my blood sugar?
Hey, Doc, can I take this one? Dr. Williams? This is Dr. Yeah, Gordon on the other side. I chimed in right as the intro came in. Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Doing well. I'll take this one. So the GLP-1s, what that stands for is it's glucagon-like protein. And now the glucagon is the opposite hormone in your body to insulin. And so what you're doing is you get an artificial glucagon to counter that insulin that you're taking as a diabetic. Now, as a person who doesn't have diabetes, taking that, you're taking more glucagon in than your body really needs. And so what it does is, just like if you're getting too much insulin, you're going to get desensitized to the glucagon, as well as your digestive system literally slows down. It's called gastroenteresis. It slows down the digestive process to a point where there's some pretty serious side effects, not just nausea or having a stomach ache, but severe constipation and those type of things can have long-term effects on your digestive tract. And so those medications were designed for a very specific purpose. The weight loss is an off-label purpose. And so they started using it in a way that it wasn't originally designed for. And our body's not designed to intake external glucagon. We're meant to produce that when our body is in a hunger state, a fasting state. And so you're artificially putting yourself in a fasting state, when in reality, Billings Last Diet, at least our phase one protocol, does that in a natural way, and you're producing the glucagon that you would be getting from that GLP-1 medication. Does that make sense?
It does, and it kind of confirms my suspicions as a completely non-medical person that you get on something like this, it's meant for a medical condition, and you don't have that medical condition. Should you be taking that medication? I don't know about that.
Well, and they don't know the long-term results. So Ozempic, semaglutide, the GLP-1s, has been around for a long time, and people have been on it and utilized it for the medical conditions, as you talked about. But what they don't know is the long-term for people that don't really have blood sugar handling problems. They're not diabetic. And so that is a concern, which is why the majority of the people that are taking GLP-1s don't necessarily want to be on them forever. And that's where we need to focus, is how do we help people come off. So as Dr. Jordan mentioned, our program, the protocol at Billings Last Diet, is designed to raise the your glucagon levels, and so you go into a ketotic state naturally. You go into ketosis naturally, and so you can definitely lose weight. And Dr. Jordan's had the same experience. As we talk to people that are taking semaglutide or GLP-1s, they're losing weight. But truth be known, if you were on Billings Last Diet's protocol, you would lose weight faster. If you're just on the protocol, you would lose weight faster, and you can sustain it with the protocol. Where that is not the case, you won't be able to sustain it if you stop using the GLP-1s.
Yeah, let's repeat that again for everybody. if you just do what the folks at Billings Last Diet tell you to do, you can lose weight, more weight, quicker without the side effects.
Yes, and you get the education that you need so you can keep that weight off the rest of your life. And that's a big missing component. So this mail-in GLP-1 where you call a phone number and they ship you your semaglutide or your Ozempic, you're not getting any support there. So if you're doing that, get some support, get some education that you need. And we've got that at Billings Last Diet. And we'll be happy to visit with anybody that's on GLP-1s and wants to help counter some of the side effects with our protocol. We'd be happy to visit with you and get started on it.
Yeah, I tell you, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck, and neither do you guys. We've seen these type of fad weight loss things going on for, 30, 40 years now, and none of them last. Have you guys noticed that they never last? They're around for a year or two, and then almost every time you hear about, oh, gosh, turns out that thing has really bad side effects, right?
Yeah, and we, at Billings last night, we've been around for 15 years, and we've seen these come and go. The difference, John, with this one is it is being pushed so hard by the pharmaceutical companies because it is such a money producer. I mean, with the obesity epidemics that we have, with children with obesity, the pharmaceutical company can see this as a huge market. And here's the kicker. It is a lifetime drug, which means once you start it, the intent is that you'll keep it going for the rest of your life. And that's off the prescription recommendations. That's not any conspiracy stuff. That is what it's designed. It's like a blood pressure medication where they don't intend you to ever come off blood pressure medication or statin drugs for cholesterol.
And the reality is that the fact is that the semaglutides, the GLP-1s, they really do work. They are helping people lose weight, which is our goal as well. But our goal goes one step further in helping people sustain a healthy lifestyle after the weight loss. And so for those listening who have used a GLP-1, who are on them, and if you've reached your goal or you're nearing your goal weight where you want to be and starting to think about where's the off ramp for this lifetime medication, how can I, you know, get that food noise to stay away without having
Thank
to
you very much,
medication.
Guys. We are coming up to the break. That is great information. Billings Last Diet. Call them. Get on it.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Patrol cars pull up, lights flashing, officers take him into custody. In the footage, Reiner is seen as raising his hands as officers approach. And this is not political. This is a human tragedy. It just is. It is unbelievable. You know, this poor kid, this kid has been in rehab 17 times. And everybody that listens to the show right now, I guarantee that you know somebody that has, you know, or somebody or somebody's family or somebody's family member or a friend or a coworker as a family member addicted to drugs. You want to know why Donald Trump is going after these narco terrorists? For this reason.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, if you ever thought about upgrading your window treatments but didn't want the hassle, our friends at Blinds.com are here to change the game. They are the only company that lets you shop for custom blinds and shades online. You just go to Blinds.com. You can skip the stress. Blinds.com makes it easy to get that designer look without that showroom markup. Now, you get the same quality, the same service you would at other high-end stores, but you get it at a fraction of the price. Now, samples, they'll send them to your door directly. Now, more than just blinds, Blinds.com carries everything from bamboo shades to shutters, outdoor shades for your patio, and much, much more. All Blinds.com orders are back with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Right now, Blinds.com is giving you, my listeners, an exclusive $50 off offer when you spend $500 or more. Just use the promo code Sean, S-E-A-N, when you check out. It's a limited time offer. Just go to Blinds.com for details.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Harry Styles has released new music content for the first time in more than 2 years. The former member of One Direction gifted fans with an official video for Forever Forever, an instrumental song he debuted live on piano in Italy during his last concert on the Love on Tour in July 2023. The video is over 8 minutes long, filled with content from fans at his shows over the years. Taylor Swift's Life of a Showgirl album has reached number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart for the 11th non-consecutive week.
Oh, you don't know the life of a showgirl, babe.
The Life of a Showgirl matches the 11-week reigns of Swift's 1989 and Fearless albums. Only the Tortured Poets Department, with 17 weeks at number one last year, has more weeks atop the list. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, we got a bunch of messages in here, and we got Fred in the Flathead. Fred says, regarding Rob Reiner's son, cannabis-induced psychosis is real. I'll bet his son started cannabis as a young teenager. Mental illness is often a euphemism for drug addiction. Yeah, that is absolutely correct. And the marijuana today, with its incredible strength, incredible purity, that's what it does cause in some people, is that psychosis. Yeah, people end up in the emergency rooms with these psychotic episodes from it. Let's see, we got right on John in Los Angeles. I just don't understand how anyone can leave the U.S. or Canada with cash above 10 grand. I would suspect them taking monies out of the country by setting up bank accounts or crypto trading. Happy New Year. I was tired of listening to the news when I woke up too early, so I watched the John Wayne movie. Clinton or Gallatin, we have not heard you in a while. Hope you're okay and hope to meet your birds, as I'm basically your neighbor and listen to you forever. Let's see. Sleepy in the Flathead. Morning, John. A year into the administration, and I see the same old pattern. The left blatantly breaking laws, making threats, attacking ICE officers, burning Teslas with zero fear of retribution. Same old Republican weenies who wouldn't even codify the popular Doge cuts or repeal the popular Obamacare. They're just waiting for Trump to get out as usual, and it's working. Bingo, bullseye. Sleepy, you are dead on with every bit of that. And the first thing you said right there about fear, that's a big deal. And you saw, maybe for those first 2 months when Trump was inaugurated, everybody was afraid of him. And the Democrats, the Republicans, everybody. And that's where, if you're going to come in and take on this system, that's what you've got to have. And they lost it really quick. And you know how that fear, that momentum was lost? By the judges. First, it started off with Boasberg, and then it was just a snowball rolling downhill from there. And the judges, when they can make these illegal, ridiculous rulings and nothing happened to them because of it, that just showed everybody that the Trump administration was this paper tiger that they could slap around and nothing was going to happen to them because of it. You saw the Obama and Biden regimes, everyone was afraid of them almost their entire time they were in office, because you knew they had killers at their agencies as their attorney generals that would, come out and absolutely take care of you if you really pissed them off. And so we got Marcia in Billings. Anyone who's thinking about losing weight should go through Billings' last diet. I started before COVID, kept it off through COVID, and I'm still keeping it off. I lost about 35 pounds through Billings' last diet. Wow, that's a lot. As a treat, I'll eat like a bear for a week or so around the holidays, but once I go back and reboot with the diet coach, it's easy to get right back. The support is phenomenal, and I can't recommend them enough. Yeah, that's definitely, it's a, like Dr. Williams was saying, it's a lifestyle. You can't do one of these crash diets for 3 months or 6 months where you're giving yourself 1,000 calories a day and working out for 3 hours a day and killing yourself, because you know why? You're gonna quit. Your mind and your body is not going to let you do that forever. You've got to be on a regimen, a diet, exercise that you can do for the rest of your life. It's just about a whole lifestyle change. It's fitness for life, because that's the only way it's going to work. Fad diets and these quick solutions never last.
Let's put out this campfire.
Dad, Smokey Bear said to.
Drown it with water. Stir it with a shovel and repeat until cool.
Wow, where can I learn all this?
It's all on SmokeyBear.com. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.